National Championship game on tap this evening. Coming off an amazing weekend of playoff action. Conference title games coming up next weekend. Then the Super Bowl. Hell yeah. Great time of year. Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up at 40 past. Pat 40, a college sports writer for SI. He's all over the national championship game. We'll get his thoughts. That's in about 35 minutes. Next hour, a senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, Therese Paylor. Meantime, some quick reaction before I get to the next topic. At JSATS23. You see, if you follow me on Twitter, I will read your tweets on the air if they're good enough. Best ones get retweeted. He says, it's nice of the Texans to prepare Rockets fans for when they blow a 24-point lead in the playoffs later this summer. That's what I like. I like you guys taking a negative and turning it into a positive. I said, hey, Chiefs fans, what'd it feel like? What'd it feel like when you fell behind 7-0, 14-0, 21-0, 24-0, and it was happening again in your house? But then they got right. Texans fans, what did you feel like watching that? What did you feel like when it was 24-0? How hard were you partying? And then, when it all turned so bad, so fast, what did that feel like? A Charger fan, Dan, is in on Twitter. Quote, Rome, Pat Mahomes is bleeping, going psychotic. He's beating people up, and we need help. Signed, Bill O'Brien in the third quarter yesterday.
He's going psychotic. He's beating people up.
What an amazing line. Can't get enough. At Table Slam Family tweets, Bill O'Brien is right. Houston is moving in the right direction because Bill O'Brien just coached himself out of the organization.
You know, I feel like we're moving in the right direction.
I don't. How is blowing a 24-point lead and losing by 20 moving in the right direction? Dear Rome Slice, we don't feel that bad. At least we have Clowney coming back. Oh, wait, never mind. Well, at least we have some first-round draft picks to get better with. Oh, wait, never mind. Thanks, Bill O'Brien. We suck, and we have no hope of getting better. Please fire yourself. You wrecked us. Chris and Corpus, were Jason Garrett being an upgrade? Did you ever think anybody would say that? Hey, Rome, I've run out of fireworks, too. Signed, Ike's Old Junk. Hey, Casey. Last chance, Casey. Last chance. This is an official warning. You only get one. Next time you do something that's stupid, you get blocked. And a block is forever. And you know me, I don't block anybody. With you, I will make an exception. That's a warning, Casey. You're only going to get one. Do it again, and you're blocked. And a block is forever. There's no eligibility for parole. A block is forever, dope. I want to talk about the Ravens. Lots to talk about, but first, let's get to the phone. Since I said Texans fans, I want to hear from you. How are you feeling this morning? Jerome in Houston. Jerome, what's up?
Hey, thanks for the vine, Vance Mack. Love your show as always. Thanks to Mr. Hawk for getting me through. This Texans team, I tell you, it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's the only way I can put it. Up 24-0, and I was watching the game with a couple of my buddies and my kids who were damn near 40. But anyway, we were up 24-0, and the first thing we started looking at each other and thinking about Oilers of 92, when they were up on the Buffalo Bills 31-3 and blew that one. And we knew then this ain't going to last because the Packers are better coached. Bill O'Brien is a horse's ass boob. He's slightly maybe average, maybe slightly above average, and he's got this team that's got the talent to compete with anybody, and it's just aggravating in this city. And prof to you, and thanks for the vine. I'm out.
My man, good job, Jerome. Alvin, you can rack him. Great job for a number of reasons. good use of the word boob, which really is an awesome palindrome, isn't it? Secondly, I especially like the reference to, I'm sitting there watching the game with my kids, and they're damn near 40. Jerome, does that make you damn near 80? I don't know. I thought that was great. It's a good call. I also love this juxtaposition of, I was saying, Chiefs fans, what did it feel like when you were down? When all of a sudden that thing was coming apart, and as quickly as it was, you had to be thinking, man, here we go again. And this guy's saying, when we were up three touchdowns plus, we were thinking, here we go again. Like, both sides are fearing the worst. One is in the midst of a blowout, so of course they're fearing the worst. But even the team that was up big, their fans were fearing the worst because they've seen that before. They've seen them come from ahead and snatch the jaws of defeat from the jaws of victory. That's strong. And like I said, good use of the word boob. Don't think that's okay, though. The guy did it. He got away with it. It was fine. Kind of playful. Kind of a funny word. Great palindrome.
Horse's ass boob.
Yeah, actually, it wasn't just good use of the word boob. He somehow spun that into a phrase which included horse's ass.
Bill O'Brien.
Because just calling somebody a boob wasn't enough. Boob. Horse's ass boob. Jerome. Boob. In Houston. Let's keep this thing moving. One call, one rack job. 1-800-636-8686. It's not that hard. So as stunning as Houston getting up on Kansas City was, and as stunning as Kansas City's comeback was, let's not let that erase what happened in Baltimore on Saturday night. Because the Ravens choked. Yeah, I said it. Well, actually, I didn't say it. I'm not saying it. But Ravens Pro Bowl corner, Marlon Humphrey, said it. He said it in the locker room after Baltimore got smoked by Tennessee.
You know, you got to look yourself in the mirror, and I think it's, this team right now, his identity is get the playoffs and choke. And just, you know, it is what it is. That's just the hard truth.
It is what it is, and what it is astounding. That's an unbelievable thing for a guy to say. An unbelievable thing for a player to say about his team. He just said it. This team's identity is to get in the playoffs and choke. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that's some heat-of-the-moment stuff after a gutting loss. And in the morning, when the emotions are not nearly as raw, or maybe after somebody from the team had spoken to him, or a coach, or a teammate, and he had a night to sleep on it, he'd walk it back. No, he did not.
I stand by that. It's actually what I was thinking on the sideline. It's crazy, you know. You are what you show on paper, and you are what you show on the field, and that's what we've shown on the field.
So this guy had a chance to sleep on it, and then that's what he said the day after. I mean, that's like the coldest self-assessment ever. And it might be the rare time when I'm actually going to disagree with a guy who's killing his own team. Because choker is a hard word. That's a tough word. And honestly, when I look at Baltimore and I look at what happened to them on Saturday night, I don't see chokers. The Texans, yes, they choked. Not with the Ravens. Now, it is two straight seasons when they got to the postseason and got bounced immediately. I know both of those losses came at home. And that they got manhandled and beaten at their own game by the Titans on Saturday night. And yes, that was a terrible loss. I could even argue that was a terrible no-show by the Ravens. But you've got to do it more than just twice for it to be your identity. And especially if you're saying it's your identity as a choker. I'm not saying either one of those losses were good. I'm not saying that either one of those losses won't leave a mark. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's all good. It's not. Far from it. Last year, they ran into a Chargers buzzsaw. This year, they ran into a Derrick Henry buzzsaw. Brutal losses, both of them. Horrible ways to end the season, especially this season when they had all put themselves in a position to win it all, only to get wrecked by a team that they were allegedly so much better than. Ravens linebacker Matthew Judon said this after the game.
You don't never expect to get into a car crash until you getting into a car crash, and I feel like that's what it is.
Except that wasn't a car crash. That wasn't a car they got hit by. That was a tractor. A tractor-cito. Because Derrick Henry just put an absolute beating on anybody and everybody in his path, including Earl Thomas. Now, I like Earl Thomas a lot. I always have. I've got nothing but respect for Earl Thomas and his game. But I have never seen a defensive player get turned around and used as a blocker the way Henry did Thomas. And that's after Thomas said before that game. Remember, do you remember what Thomas said before that game as it related to Derrick Henry?
Guys didn't seem like they was too interested in tackling him. So I think our mindset is a little different. I think we're going to try to tackle him. We're going to try to swarm. And we're going to see how it plays out.
Yeah, well, it did not play out well at all for Earl. My man got turned inside out. I mean, almost literally. After the game, Henry was asked what he said to Thomas, and his answer was perfect.
I just said, good to see you, Earl. I said, it's good to see you, man. And, you know, hope we can do this again.
Wow. And I'm also not that interested in hearing that rest v. rust argument. Rest is a privilege that you earn this time of year. And if you can't manage it or you can't handle it, that's your fault and nobody else's. And it sure seemed like the Ravens receivers couldn't handle the ball. And their defense sure as hell couldn't handle Derrick Henry. Because when he wasn't trucking fools, he was just throwing over them.
Titans in the pistol. Mariota, now he goes in motion. Direct snap, Derrick Henry throws it. Jump pass in the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Henry to Corey Davis! Oh my goodness, that play is from the 1800s.
Something like that. Titans radio. And as long as we're talking about respect, how about a little bit of love for Ryan Tannehill? I tweeted this too, but this guy was run out of Miami. And now he's 60 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl in Miami, which is awesome. About as awesome as that game plan that Mike Vrabel and his staff drew up. You tell me who had the better game. Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith or Titans D coordinator Dean Pease? And the answer is, it's pretty much a tie. They both coached their asses off and had that team ready to not only win, but to dominate. And one more thing on that game. As I mentioned, I do appreciate Marlon Humphrey's self-reflection and the willingness to really ask the tough questions of himself and his team. That was an all-time no-show by Baltimore at the worst possible time. But people trying to make that out like Lamar Jackson is a bust or a playoff failure are so desperate and so transparent. Like, don't even come in here with that junk. That is like the dumbest and worst take ever. Yeah, right. Because the best player in the NFL this year, the guy who just turned the entire league inside out this year, is an all-time bust and playing the wrong position because he had a bad game in the playoffs. A bad game against a really good team with a great scheme and receivers who were just putting the ball on the ground. Except some fools and dopes want to say, you see, this proves that all the doubters were right all along. Yeah, it sure as hell doesn't prove that. You know what it does prove? It proves that some of you have got some axe to grind with Jackson and you're doing whatever you can to try to make that point. You're making that point. And the point's about you, not about him. Brett Favre once threw six picks in a playoff game. So get out of here with that trash that one playoff game tells you all you need to know. That one playoff game proves anything at all, even. Look, I'm not going to come in here and say that Jackson had a great game. He didn't. Even if he did have more than 500 total yards. But most of them came when it really didn't matter. He did not have a good game. He'd be the first one to tell you he didn't have a good game. He'd be the first one to tell you it was a terrible time for a terrible game. He'd be the first guy to own it. But he did damn near drag them back into that game in the second half. And that showed me something. In fact, it showed me a lot. So if you're trying to trash Jackson after that game and say he's overrated or no good, that shows me a lot too. It says everything about you and nothing about him. And no, that does not mean that you were, quote, right. Because pretty much almost every other team in the NFL would take that guy, gladly. And it would be an upgrade over what they currently have. And the guy played at an MVP clip the entire year. Now, that doesn't tell me about him. It tells me about you and your agenda. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, I want to get into the championship game. I also want to get into the flight deck. I want to revisit his first picks. And where does that leave us, right? After the weekend he had, do I bring him back or not? Was putting him on a great idea or a bad idea? Well, that's coming up. Pat Forty coming up later on this hour. Hey, how often do you think about your socks? If you're like I used to be, probably not very often. Not much at all. But I recently discovered socks that changed the way I will always think about socks going forward. They're called Bombas. Bombas are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. And that's because they're made from premium cotton. And not only that, because of that, they stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. And every pair comes with a built-in blister tab, innovative arch support, stay-up technology, and a seamless toe. And with many colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, Bombas look great in the gym, at the office, and on the town. Bombas are what feet daydream about. And for every purchase you make, Bombas donates a pair to somebody in need. It's a great company. So keep cool, keep comfortable, and keep contributing with the best socks in the history of feet. Bombas. Buy your Bombas at bombas.com/Jim Rome today and get 20% off your first purchase. BOMBAS.com/Jim Rome and get 20% off your first purchase. Bombas.com/Jim Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I am Jim Rome. Got Pat Forty coming up at 40 past. So 50 minutes from right now. So let's talk national championship game really quickly. Tonight is the night. You've got unbeaten versus unbeaten. Burrow v. Lawrence. Ed v. Dabo. LSU v. Clemson. And the winner is your national champion. Loser, not even a set of steak knives. So in my mind, while LSU looks like an unstoppable juggernaut, and there are huge stacks and stacks of cash from the betting public, which are flowing in for the Tigers. To me, I'm looking at this matchup, and I see the makings of an absolute classic with a ton of star power on both sides. That's just me. To many of you, though, it sounds like a mere formality for what amounts to a home game for LSU, especially after that 63-28 curb stomping of Oklahoma in the semis. And while I personally expect a much closer game, even than what the line says, I can see where a lot of you are expecting another LSU beatdown. Got Heisman winner Joe Burrow, who's been absolutely historic. My man's 55 touchdown passes do not even tell the entire story on how truly special that he has been. I mean, this guy's decision-making, his ability to get the ball to his stable of stud wideouts, and ability also to use his legs. I mean, this guy's special. Truly special. This is a big Joe Burrow house. Now, he's not the only thing either. They've got to know. LSU's entire offense is next level, legitimately. We're talking about the first unit in college football history to have a 5,000-yard passer, a 1,000-yard rusher, two 1,000-yard receivers. A pick-your-poison type of approach for any defensive coordinator if there's ever been one before. Talent on O, talent on D. Several members of that D are bound to be first-round picks alongside Burrow and April. I mean, they are loaded. Loaded with speed, loaded with athleticism, and loaded with playmakers. So trust me, I understand the love for the purple and gold. It's really well-deserved for Ed O's squad. That said, I cannot believe how many people are sleeping on Dabo. This dude, you know, as great a guy as Dabo is, as optimistic and upbeat and positive as Dabo is, believe this, he burns on your slights or perceived slights, real or imagined. Whatever the case may be, he always has his guys' heads right. Ask the Nictator and that Alabama team that many of you deemed the greatest football team of all time before Dabo and his true freshman Trevor Lawrence put that historic 44-16 wax job on them. Go ask Nick. Yes, this Clemson squad is not last year's. They don't have the pass rush that they did a season ago. I'll give you that. But they still have Brent Venables as their D coordinator. This dude's good. Go ask Ohio State. Go ask Justin Fields about him. After trailing early on, Venables made the proper in-game adjustments to keep them in that game just long enough to allow Lawrence to find himself and start doing Lawrence things. And yes, Clemson's D is not going to stop Burrow because nobody does. But they can possibly disrupt his timing on a few plays. Maybe just enough to throw off that O, which is predicated on speed and spacing and tempo and rhythm. Just because Venables does not have that same front four from a year ago does not mean that he does not have weapons, because he does, and he knows what to do with them. So expect plenty of guys roaming and running and swarming around from every different angle to get after Burrow. And for as much as the 2020 number one overall pick in the NFL draft gets, let's not forget about the first overall pick in 2021, Lawrence. You know, the guy that scouts are comparing to Andrew Luck and John Elway. The guy who's got his championship already. Yeah, that guy, remember? He's pretty good. In fact, he's really good. And you know what makes him special? He's already done it on the big stage. He's got that ability to show up on the big stage, even when things are not going well. This guy thrives when the spotlight is the brightest. And he can see Burrow's wideouts and raise them with a pair of future studs himself in Justin Ross and T. Higgins. Also, don't forget about Travis Etienne, Lawrence's backfield mate, the Louisiana native who still gives Orgeron indigestion for not getting him into school. Expect him to have the ball in his hands a lot tonight. You know, grind clock, make plays, keep Burrow on the bench. This dude's a dangerous weapon who can also catch it out of the backfield. So what I'm saying is this. I'm not saying Clemson is going to win. I am saying they've won 29 straight. I am saying they're playing for their third natty in 4 years. I am saying never, ever count Dabo and his dudes out. Because as much as I don't root, there's a part of me that says I would not mind Dabo reminding the world one more time this evening about how much he and his guys have been disrespected. He's been doing that now for weeks. And if they get that game tonight, when nobody's giving them any chance whatsoever, that post-game rant is going to be legendary. Pull this off, and Dabo goes down as one of the best to ever do it already. I could argue not only that, he's still just getting started. No, I'm not picking them to win. I'm saying, and I'm not trying to go Tom Sula on anybody, I'm not picking them to win. I'm saying I would not be surprised if they did win. And it's extremely foolish to run up in here and say they've got no chance whatsoever, because they do. And it's more than a puncher's chance. Remember, that betting line doesn't mean LSU is 6.5 points better. It means the betting public thinks they're 6.5 points better. There's a difference. And I think this game is closer than that. Who you got? Who you like? What's going to happen tonight? Call your shot right now. That way you can come in here and flex tomorrow. But only if you call your shot right now. 1-800-636-8686. What I'm saying is I love that matchup, and I think it's a lot closer than most people do. And it wouldn't surprise me if Clemson shocked the world and won. Because if Clemson shocked the world, to me, it wouldn't be a shock. When we come back, we'll get another point of view. Pat Forte covers the college game for SI. He joins us next. He'll help us preview the championship game. Also, coming up later on, I want to revisit the big head, flight deck. James Kelly, Omaha. Did you go with his picks over the weekend? Are you bent if you did? Where does that leave us? Was putting him on and letting him pick games a good thing or a bad thing? Do I run it back again this weekend? All of that is coming up. But first, here is a sports update. Here is Rich Ackerman. Talking about the national championship game, welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I shared my thoughts last segment. Waiting for your thoughts as well. In the meantime, here is a different point of view for you. He is all over it. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. He is Pat Forte. Pat, good to have you back. How are you?
Good to be with you, Mr. Rome. Thank you.
Pat, great to have you. I appreciate you making time. I know it's a busy day for you. So after a very long wait, Pat, we're finally a few hours away from the national championship game. What is the vibe like in New Orleans right now?
Oh, it is like festive to a feverish pitch, I think you would say. The French Quarter is always wild when you have a national championship game down here or a Sugar Bowl. When LSU is playing in it, it's up to another level, that you just really don't see much of anywhere else. So it is really a high, high level of anticipation from LSU fans. They haven't won a national title since 2007. This may be the best team in school history. But there's a lot of Clemson people here as well, and they're fired up. You know, they haven't seen their team lose for a couple of years. So a lot of confidence, a lot of anticipation for tonight.
We're talking to Pat Forte. So, Pat, in theory, the national championship game is played on a neutral field. But as you point out, we're talking about, you know, a 90-minute drive from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. So how significant is the home field advantage for LSU?
Well, we'll see how many people get in. You know, I think that certainly it will be more LSU than Clemson, probably by a pretty substantial margin. But I am also kind of wondering if spending 2 weeks or 16 days steeped in this home atmosphere, basically, might almost be a detriment for LSU, because that's a lot of time to hear people telling you about winning the championship and doing it in New Orleans, doing it at home. And I think, in this situation, I'd rather be Clemson getting away from all of that for 4 or 5 days leading up to the game than having been here and listened to it all. Now, you know, once again, if that all goes away, if, you know, Clemson can't even snap the ball without, you know, jumping off sides because they can't hear. So we'll see exactly how intense the atmosphere is in the dome. I'm not sure yet.
We're talking about Pat Forte, talking with Pat Forte. Pat, in terms of the matchup itself, you know, Joe Burrow had a historic season. He was absolutely incredible. And there's a lot of things that could be said about him, but I don't think that anything is more accurate than what Clemson defensive coordinator Brett Venables said about him. Quote, Joe Burrow is not some slappy, end quote. What do you think concerns Venables the most about Burrow?
You know, I think several things. First of all, Venables is the best game player defensive coordinator in college football. He confuses teams. He disguises blitzes and coverages. And it's hard to do against LSU because, A, Burrow is so smart, and, B, LSU lines up so fast that they basically make you kind of show your hand before the snap. And so a lot of that element of surprise and disguise, I think, will be challenged here. So, you know, Burrow, not only accurate, tough, poised, but a good athlete, too, and that's the other thing. If they do get pressure on him, he can run away from it, as can Trevor Lawrence. These are both very athletic quarterbacks.
We're talking to Pat Forte. So, Pat, what about that? Like, Venables has said that LSU's system is designed to get the defense to show what they're going to do before they do it. As you point out, Venables is as good as what he does as anybody else. So how do you expect him to counteract that? How much activity are you expecting to see before every single snap?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think if you're sitting at home as a fan wondering kind of what to look for, I think it's that, the game within the game, inside the game, in the 5 to 10 seconds between lining up and the ball being snapped, and how many people are moving around for Clemson. Is Joe Burrow moving, shifting protections in response? And then, yeah, what happens when it gets snapped? And I think that, you know, Venables will have some, he'll have some surprises for him, no doubt about it. You know, the question is, are they effective surprises? This is not their best defensive line by any stretch. That was last year when they had three guys drafted in the first round off the defensive line. So how do they come up with pressure? Do they have to bring extra guys to get in Joe Burrow's face? And then what does that cost them on the back end of coverage?
We're talking to Pat Forte. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. Pat, one more thought about LSU. I mean, it's so easy to focus on Burrow, but when you look at the rest of the talent they have on offense, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, they got 5 NFL guys. You know, they've got 3 wide receivers who will play in the NFL. They've got a tight end, Thaddeus Moss. His dad is Randy Moss, who's just come on incredibly well as the season has progressed. And then they've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back, who, if its hamstring is healed all the way, he's another major threat. You know, he can catch the ball. He can run. He can block. He can do everything. So the talent around Burrow is elite, no doubt about it. But I would also say the same thing about the talent around Trevor Lawrence. All of those receivers are excellent, and the running back, Travis Etienne, as good as Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, I think Etienne's better.
All right, so on that side, Pat Forte joining us. You have a really interesting piece up right now, Pat, on SI.com. I want to ask you about Clemson defensive back Nolan Turner, who iced the game against Ohio State with that interception. Nolan is the son of Kevin Turner, the former NFL player who passed away 4 years ago at the age of 46. Kevin played fullback in a really physical and violent way. He was diagnosed with ALS and ultimately CTE. So what was it like to talk with Nolan about that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously the family has had a a very conflicted relationship with football. Football, you know, doctors looked at the autopsy results from Kevin Turner and feel absolutely certain that the unbelievable number of head-to-head blows that he endured as a player. He was a special teams head hunter. He was a fullback. He was, you know, a lot of collisions played a major part in his death. And so, you know, how does his son feel about playing that sport? And he loves it. He said, I love it too much. I'm not going to give it up. It's what I want to do. He said it was awful watching what happened to his dad, but, you know, he tries to play a little bit safer, but you're a safety. You're still going to be colliding with people. You're going to be making hits. And, you know, I think every time that he makes a tackle, his mom and grandfather probably are wincing and just hoping that, you know, everything's going to be okay.
Mm. Pat Forte joining us. That piece is up right now on SI.com. You know, he had the interception, Pat, that ended that game against Ohio State. And Dabo said, quote, "The cool thing is I told him right before, hey, you're going to have the game-winning interception. Get your dad gum head up," end quote. I mean, it's a vintage Dabo story, Pat. What do you make of how Dabo has coached and guided this particular team over the course of the season?
Yeah, I mean, amazing. You know, this team is probably not as talented as last year's overall, but they've won on the same level, and here they are again. And I do think that Dabo has a confidence in himself and in his players that really inspires them to play at a higher level. You know, things like that. You know, like Nolan Turner was beaten for a big touchdown early in the fourth quarter. Dabo comes over to him afterwards and says, "Hey, you know, get your head up. You're going to make the interception that wins the game." And by golly, he did. You know, and I just think Dabo has that sort of charisma, this infectious sort of belief that his team's going to win. And I really do think it trickles down into the locker room. He might come across as a little bit of a hayseed, if you will, but he's not. You know, I think he likes kind of projecting that image. But he's a smart, savvy, charismatic guy.
I was going to say, Pat, where do you come out? I mean, like, you've seen everything. I know you can see through anything. I happen to love Dabo, but when you look at him, what is he? I mean, is he that savvy guy? Is he that hayseed? Is he something in between? You've covered everybody. What do you think when you look at him?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I do think that he likes that image that he projects. You know, a little bit self-effacing and a little bit, you know, like I just bounced off the turnip truck, and it's not the case, you know. I mean,
not at all.
In fact, if you go back to between his playing days and when he started coaching, he was making a lot of money selling commercial real estate. You know, I mean, he knows his way around things, and you know, so I think that carries over. He's a, you know, he his assistant coaches, he lets them get a ton of credit for game plan and scheme and that sort of thing, and they should. But Dabo is a much smarter guy, much savvier guy than he really cares to project at all to anybody.
So, Pat, before I let you go, like, the masses are running to LSU, understandably so, as you and I talked about. They are loaded on both sides of the ball. But Clemson has won 29 straight. And when you do that, you start to develop a belief that you simply cannot lose. When you're dealing with college athletes, how powerful is that mindset?
I think it's huge. You know, I really do. Kids this age, you know, there are a few things less predictable in the world than 18 to 22-year-old males. And so if you can put some doubt into the other team, as good as they've been, if you can knock LSU's confidence a little bit, slow them down enough, get a turnover here or there, get a red zone stop, and make some things happen for yourself, I just think that unwavering confidence and belief that they are going to win helps them in the long run, and I think it's going to help them tonight.
Pat, before I get your prediction, let me ask you this. If the game were to turn into a shootout, can Clemson's offense stay with LSU's offense?
Yeah, well, I think that I think that a shootout's entirely possible. And yeah, I think they can, because their weapons are as good. You know, I mean, their receivers are outstanding. Justin Ross, T. Higgins, you know, Travis Etienne, as I said, I think he's the best back in this game. And you know, I think Trevor Lawrence is right there with Joe Burrow. You know, he may not have had as good a season as Burrow, but he's as good a player as Burrow is. And we've seen him do it when the chips were down. He goes 96 yards against Ohio State to win the game. You know, he'll run when he needs to. He's tough. He's smart. So, yes, I think that they can stay with them in a shootout, and I expect it to be a bit of a shootout.
All right, spoiler alert, you've called your shot. You predicted that Clemson will win. You kind of just laid it out for me, but is there anything else? What have you seen that makes you feel like Clemson's going to win?
You know, I think that they have been so solid defensively that they're going to get enough stops. And I, you know, the LSU defense I don't think is as good, and they're playing an offense that's almost as good as LSU. So, you know, I think that they're just, if there's one slight weak link in this, it's the LSU defense. And I think that Clemson will do just enough to get enough stops and win the game. I picked 37-35. So I think there's going to be plenty of points and hopefully a lot of drama.
Pat Forte is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. He is there breaking it down. Pat, really appreciate it. Like I said, I know it's a really busy day for you, so thanks for spending time. Great job.
Hey, my pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
Pat Forte. He's a pro's pro right there. All right, so he likes Clemson. He says it could be a shootout. Clemson can win the shootout. Expects an exciting game, 37-35. Clemson. All right, who you got? 1-800-636-8686. Last time I checked the spread, it was 6.5. And if I'm not mistaken, it started like at 4.5, which means the money is going to LSU. People love LSU. And prior to Pat Forte coming on, I laid out some of those numbers. Crazy numbers. There's a lot to like about LSU. But it would not surprise me at all if Clemson won that game. They have 129 straight. Third shot at the Natty in 4 years. And Dabo knows exactly what he's doing. Dabo did not fall off the back of any truck. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-636-8686. We go to Queens. Queens, New York. D. It's good to have you, D. How are you?
How you doing, Jim? Big shout out to Queens, by the way.
You got it. I love it.
I think all the points that Mr. Ford hit on were the same points I was going to come on with. The coaching staff has been consistent. Same guys that recruited these kids when they was in high school. They can get into them a little bit. It's the confidence of the 29 games. And at the end of the day, if Trevor Lawrence was allowed to come into the draft this year, he would be a first-round pick. And in games like this, when it's tight, I'm taking the best quarterback and I'm taking the best coaching staff.
You got it, D. Rack him. I like that. I don't know that he's the best quarterback. You can make the argument that he is. I know this. Trevor Lawrence is huge on the big stage. We've seen him do it before on the big stage, and not just once either. And I think that Joe Burrow is amazing. Joe Burrow is an amazing player. Joe Burrow is an amazing young guy. And I could not respect and admire this guy any more than I do. Like I said, this is a huge Joe Burrow house. I love the way this guy handles himself on the field, and I love the way he handles himself off the field. He's incredible. But don't sleep on Trevor Lawrence. And I don't care what he was doing earlier this season. In fact, he's better for what he was doing earlier this season. And they just kept coming. They kept coming. And they're undefeated. And I guarantee Dabo loves what is being said, what is being written, and the way everybody's coming for them the way that they are. He loves it. You just sit on that epic rant if they get it done. And I think they might. Pat Forte called it. He says they will. Gearing up for our third hour. 1-800-636-8686. I like this. Who you got? If you want to flex on your pick, get your pick in and get on the air. Don't call me tomorrow and say, yeah, Rome, I really tried, but I couldn't get through. But I knew it. If you know it, tell me right now. What's going to happen? Therese Paylor is going to be in the last segment of hour number three. We'll talk some NFL with him. When we come back, I want to get into Mike Vrabel. Man, there are a lot of people saying a lot of things about Mike Vrabel. Like, he should be fired. He's in over his head. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Yeah, that was far and away the best guy to come off that Belichick tree. I'll get into that, and I want to talk about, you want to talk about a big head, James Kelly. I want to talk about how his weekend went and where that leaves us right now. All of that is still ahead. If you're on hold, stay there, and we will come right back. Your phone calls straight ahead. You're in the jungle.